I brought up Daniel. Remember, Daniel was taken into Babylon as a captive. He wasn't taken there, you know, as a prisoner, though he was a prisoner, but he wasn't put into a prison. He wasn't put into a slave camp. He was one of the ones that King Nebuchadnezzar had brought in to teach the Chaldean tongue to teach, you know, the customs of the land to. Someone that would be proven to stand in the courts of Nebuchadnezzar, kind of as an ambassador for the Israelites to King Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel, though, for several days, Daniel and those others that were there and brought there, they were to eat the king's meat, to drink the king's wine, and no doubt the king's meat would have been, you know, animal sacrificed to their false gods. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he was not going to eat the king's meat. He wasn't going to drink the wine because he was going to stay true to the Lord. All right, and God did bless him for that, right? Because Daniel, he told the eunuch, he told the person that was in charge of them, you know what, prove us 10 days. If you'll just give us pulse to eat, which is just beans, just give us beans and water for 10 days and just see if we don't look healthier than those that are eating the king's meat. I mean, Daniel had a right heart, and really it starts with having a right heart. What's the purpose of prayer? It's seeking God. And sometimes fasting is to be a part of that. Going without, you know, again. Because everything that we allow in our life, whether it's social media, TV shows, movies, there are things that can numb us to the things of God. Our minds can be filled up with so much stuff that we don't even think about the things of God. And our heart becomes numb to the things of God. We just kind of skate through. I mean, we live in such an entertainment-driven world. That's why a lot of people can't attend. I'll say this, there's a lot of people that cannot attend a church like our church. It's not an entertaining church. We don't have a band up here. We don't have lights flashing, you know. We don't have the big drama going on that really, you know, I can't hear you. Yeah, appears to the flesh, but I mean, put it this way, I mean, with a kids program, what do you have to do, Nathan, to keep the attention of kids in a class? Can you just stand there and monotonely talk? No, what you got to what? They need pictures. Right, they need something to stimulate the mind and to keep their focus, right? But that's kids. But think about adults as well that are, as adults, you know, we're so, you know, I'm saying we as we in this room, just we as a people, we're engrossed into TV shows or just, you know, it's just all packed, action-packed. And just, so to sit in a church service and just listen to someone teach the Bible, for some people, they can't do it. They need some excitement, right? But you know what? There's excitement with the Lord. But that's where prayer and fasting comes in, is sometimes we need to fast from those things that we normally watch and listen to because we want our senses to be stronger with the Lord and the things of this world. And with having victory over a national decline, again, sometimes people will not even try because they think, well, I'm just one person. What difference can I make? Think about Daniel. He was just one person, but guess what? Because he desired to please God and he sought God, it caused three other men to follow suit to do the same thing. And that's what it's all about. It's starting individually with us, individually, and letting God spread the fire, all right? So victory over national decline, we saw last week. let's see here. We looked at the fact that, you know, we need to seek a personal revival, as it says therein. Oh, where am I at here? It says, if my people, okay? It's not talking about the lost. It's talking about us. It's talking about the born-again believers, if my people. Let me just read this verse again. I mean, I know we're talking about national decline, but I want to talk a little bit, though, a little bit more about us individually as God's people. Because this is God speaking, okay? This is God speaking. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God says, if my people, all right? So if you have a problem in your life, God says, if my people will humble themselves, come before him, believing that God has the answer and that God can reveal the answer to my problem. If my people shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, because you understand, let me put this question out there. Why would God say, pray and seek my face? Because some people pray and they're not really seeking God. They're just praying because that's what you're supposed to do. They're kind of using God like a genie in a lamp, you know, rubbing the bottle and hoping God comes out and grants me 3 wishes. But when you seek God's face, you're seeking the one who has the answers, but the one who will do what's right. But also the one that's going to reveal in your own heart if there's something that needs to be confessed. That's why he says, if my people shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Because you know what? As we honestly pray, as we honestly seek the Lord's face, guess what? The Holy Spirit on the inside is going to reveal anything that may be wrong in our life that has caused the problem in our life. Because again, the Holy Spirit has been given to us not only to seal us until the day of redemption, but also to be our comforter and our guide. He's the one that speaks truth, and he's a light in us, searching our hearts, searching the inner parts of us to see if there's anything between us and God. Because the Bible does say, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Remember, there was a man that had the palsy that could not get out of his bed, and 4 friends picked up his couch and took him to the house that Jesus was in. And they could not get into the house because of the crowd that was there. Nobody was letting them by. Nobody was, back up, let these guys in. Nobody was letting them in. But those 4 friends were determined to get their friend to Jesus so he could be healed. And the Bible records those 4 friends went up on the roof of that house, pulled back the tiles of the roof, and lowered their friend down right in front of Jesus. And Jesus saw the faith of those 4 friends and said to the man that had the palsy, first thing he said was, thy sins be forgiven. Remember that? Thy sins be forgiven. Then he told the man, after Jesus, rebuked the Pharisees because they said, who can forgive sins but God? Exactly, Jesus is God. But then after he said, thy sins be forgiven, then he told the man, stand up, rise up, take thy bed, go home. All right? So sometimes there's sin that we need to repent of that's causing us physical issues, that's causing us life issues. Because you cannot be a child of God and choose to sin and expect God to just stand by and be okay with it. Now again, my sin, again, this is where we got to be careful. We don't become humanistic, and we don't think, my sin doesn't affect the entire nation. No, but my sin affects my family, my children, affects my occupation, all right? That's why God says, in order for us to have victory over national decline, don't just say, this is the world, we just have to follow it, right? We just have to live in it. No, we don't have to, all right? Seek a personal revival. All right? And I guarantee you, every one of us needs a personal revival. Doesn't matter how close you're already walking with God. There is a need for revival in all of our lives. Again, he says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. You know what? God knows who's serious and who's not. And that's why God just didn't say, if my people will pray, then I'll heal their land. He says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves. Humbling yourself before God is admitting, I need God. God is in control of my life. God is my redeemer. God has all the answers. And I want God to have full control of my life. And pray. And prayer is what? Prayer is asking. Prayer is casting your care upon the Lord. It's asking God. It's telling God what the problem is, even though he already knows what it is. He still wants us to tell him and to seek my face. I am seeking the face of God. I want God's glory to shine upon me. Think about Moses, 40 days on Mount Sinai with God. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai, the people couldn't look on Moses. His face shone so bright they were afraid of him. They had to put a veil over his face because his face, it just glowed with this brightness that they had never seen before because he had spent time with God. And turned from their wicked ways, God says, then I will hear from heaven and will heal their land. Again, sometimes, yes, as in this discussion, it's about a national decline, all right, seeking God for our country, but at the same time, seeking God for your own family, seeking God for your marriage, seeking God for your children. Because remember, Job was a righteous man who prayed for his children. And then when you go to Job chapter 1, it talks about that. Job offered up sacrifices for his children just in case they did it, were doing anything wrong against God. All right? So again, God says he can heal the land. God says he can heal our families, all right? But it does start with us individually. It's being honest that, you know what, Lord, there might be something wrong in my heart that I'm not aware of. Because honestly, most of us probably think that we have a pretty good walk with God. You know, I talk with God, I hear God's voice. But again, we have not arrived to sinless perfection. That will be when we see Christ face to face and we're given that new body. Then we won't have any more sin to deal with. All right, but it's seeking a personal revival. And also we looked at seeking a prayerful renewal, talking about praying. All right, the third thing I want you to think about this morning is seeking a powerful restoration. You're wanting God to restore, and we want God to restore our country. Because honestly, we understand as adults, we understand the slippery slope that our country is on right now. All right, and we understand if it continues on the slippery slope it's on, we will lose all freedoms. We'll become like other countries that have no freedom. All right, but God says, if my people shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he promises to hear from heaven. All right, but again, I want you to just think about this as the national decline that we're talking about, but again, think about your own personal life. Think about your family. Think about your children, your grandchildren. What can I do to help those that are not walking with God? What can I do to help my country? What can I do to help my family? Pray. Prayer is a big part of it. But believing in prayer. Someone who just prays but they don't believe in prayer. Listen, a lost person who prays is not going to get their prayers answered. The first prayer that God answers for a lost person is their salvation prayer, when they cry out to the Lord. All right? Because God does not hear the cries of the lost. He hears the cries of his children. He hears the cries of those who have their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But again, praying for a powerful restoration. God promises that when we follow his prescription, he will respond out of the greatness of his power. God promises when we follow his prescription. Now, we all know what a prescription is, right? Sometimes we take them, sometimes we don't, right? The doctor says, here's the prescription for the illness you have. Go to the pharmacy, get it filled. And sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. All right? Probably more times we don't. All right? Because we don't want to take a bunch of pills, you know, unless we absolutely have to. But we understand what a prescription is. All right? Someone who has cancer and they need to go through chemotherapy. All right, that's a prescription, chemotherapy for cancer, depending on the type of cancer. And that person decides, you know what, I'm not going to take that prescription. I don't want chemotherapy. And guess what? At some point, they're going to die from their cancer, all right, because they're not adhering to the prescription, okay? Again, this is God's prescription for healing. Again, not just healing in our country, but healing in our own life, in our family. Again, we can't have the mindset, okay, I'm the one praying, but they're the ones that need to be changed. What if they don't want to change? That's the wrong focus. The focus is God. That's why God says, seek my face. I'm seeking God's face. I'm not seeking their face. I'm seeking God's face. And I'm praying on behalf of these people that their hearts would be turned. You know, how many of God's people actually pray for President Biden? I'm not asking for a raise of hands. I'm just posing that question. How many of God's people in America actually pray for him and not against him? Think about Paul. Paul was Antichrist. Paul was a hater of believers. Paul jailed them. Paul killed them. But what happened on the road to Damascus? Anybody, what happened on the road to Damascus? He believed. Why? He saw Jesus. I can't help but to think people were praying for Paul. There were probably some praying against him, knowing that he was coming to haul them away. Because that's, honestly, that's the natural thing to do as a Christian, is pray against what's wrong. Okay? Pray against what's wrong, but why not pray for that person, that their heart would be turned? Because listen, did not Jesus tell his disciples, ask, knock, and seek? He said, ask, you'll be answered. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it'll be opened. Right? So think about, again, Paul. Paul's life was changed. In a moment with Christ, his life was changed. I can't help but to think that there was some prayer going on for Paul. Again, God says that prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. It could be that God would give us some more time, you know, as a country, if God's people would honestly take 2 Chronicles 7:14 to heart and really, purposefully, every day seek God on behalf of our country, on the behalf of our president, on the behalf of those that are in political positions, as well as our own family members and co-workers and such. All right, seeking a powerful restitution. God promises that when we follow his prescription, he will respond out of the greatness of his power. He is able to do great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's Jeremiah 33:3. Why do some Christians not pray at all? Because they've lost hope in what God says. They've lost hope that God will do great and mighty things which thou knowest not, but God promises. The number one thing our adversary wants us to lose hope and trust in is in God's word. It's what he attacked from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden was God's word. Yea, hath God. Did God really mean that as he talked to Eve? Yea, hath God said? Did he really mean that? I mean, after all, you're just a small fish in a big pond. You're just, how can your prayer change anything? Because it's not my prayer. It's the one I'm praying to. I'm praying to the one who can change anything. I'm praying to the one who's who said in his word, the king's heart is in his hand, he turneth whithersoever it will, like the rivers of water, okay? It's not my prayer that changes anything, but it's my prayer that reaches the ears of my God. And my God said that he would hear from heaven and that he would change things. He would do great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Our responsibility is to have faith in his promises and his word and fulfill his requirements for revival. His requirements, every single part of it. Humbling ourselves, praying, seeking God's face, turning from our wicked ways. If the Holy Spirit reveals in us as we're spending time with God, if the Holy Spirit reveals anything in us that we need to confess, confess it, all right? Confess it, because we don't want anything between us and our God. We don't want our iniquity to keep God from hearing our prayers, all right? Again, one of the greatest displays of the power of God in Scripture was the fire of God falling on Elijah's altar, the altar that Elijah built. Let me ask you. Now, hindsight's always 20/20, isn't it? It's easy to believe in something that we can look back to. Now, I believe that fire fell from heaven. Can you imagine that day? Elijah is there on Mount Carmel. He's gathered the 400 prophets of Baal. He tells them, okay, you sacrifice on your altar first. So you have 400 prophets of Baal. I mean, they're chanting, they're dancing, they're jumping up on the altar, they're cutting themselves, trying to get Baal to rain down fire from heaven. No doubt people are looking in the sky, because that was the result of whose God is the real God, fire from heaven. They're looking. I don't see any fire. Then when it came to the evening sacrifice, then Elijah had his turn. And Elijah single-handedly rebuilt the altar of God on Mount Carmel. Nobody helped him. He rebuilt it. He put the wood in order. He put the sacrifice up on the wood on the altar. He dug a trench around. He did have some guys dig that trench around the altar, and then had those same guys pour several pitchers, several gallons of water on top of the sacrifice that ran down and obviously soaked the wood, filled up the trench. All right, the sacrifice is soaking wet. The wood is soaking wet. There's water in the trench. And then when you read that account in 1 Kings 18, Elijah simply looks up to heaven and says, God, show the people that you sent me that this is because of you, not because of me. And before he even got done praying, fire fell from heaven. I'm sure there were people there, they had doubt. People in the crowd thinking, there's no fire going to fall from heaven. There are probably people, if our God Baal can't do it, then Elijah's God can't do it either. But that fire fell because one man, he had nobody else. Because remember, before he rebuilt the altar, he came to God's people and said to God's people, if Baal be God, serve him. If God be God, serve him. And the Bible records the people answered him not a word. They didn't say anything. They just stayed silent. So Elijah had nobody on his side when he built that altar. But when that fire came, then the Bible records all of God's people said, God be God. God is God. I mean, they just started worshiping God. Because sometimes it takes fire in someone's life spiritually to have their eyes open to the truth and their heart turned back to the Lord. And it all because one man prayed. One man allowed himself to be used of God and prayed for the people and prayed for God to show himself mighty in the life of God's people. And there was a powerful restoration. I mean, the people were restored back to the Lord. Now, God's promise of national revival is conditional, though. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God promises to heal. Now, only after we do what God has commanded, will he work to bring the revival we need. Only after what God asks us to do will he do what he said he would do. All right? There are some conditional promises, and this is a conditional promise. God promises to heal our land if we will do what he says. Again, the devil wants to put the thought in your mind, yeah, but what about the other Christians that aren't doing it? It's not about the other Christians. How many of us understand a personal relationship with Christ? My relationship with Christ does not hinge upon your relationship with Christ. If you choose not to walk with God, that has no bearing on my relationship. Now, it can cause me to become discouraged and think, well, you know, they're not walking with God, why should I? But that should not be the thought. The thought should be, like Daniel purposed in his heart, he was going to be faithful to God regardless of anybody else. And it proved out in his life, didn't it? Because when that law was signed that no one could pray to any other gods, Daniel went right home and prayed like he always did. He did not allow society or laws to dictate his relationship with God. Okay? And God promises if we will be faithful to our relationship with him and seek him and pray and turn from our wicked ways, anything that he shows in our heart that we need to confess and turn from, he promises to hear and to heal our land. God will hear. And that is something that we as God's people have to sink our faith in. That's something we can't lose faith in. God will hear. God promises to hear your prayers when you pray, when you seek him with all your heart. We should be grateful that God hears our prayers. Compare that to the false gods that so many people worship. People travel to Sedona, Arizona to worship and meditate among the red rocks. Celebrities like Tom Cruise and Madonna promote their belief in false religions such as Scientology and the study of whatever. People have a void in their spiritual lives that they're trying to fill with everything except the truth of God. I mean, think about the foolishness of worshiping trees. What can a tree do for you? Tree can't do anything. You can do some things for the tree, like cut it down, chop it up for wood, right? But I mean, think about just the false idols and gods that people worship that cannot do anything for them. Again, when you look in Scripture and you see where God's people would carve out graven images and bow down to these images and worship them and pray to them. I mean, eyes they have, but they cannot see. Ears they have, but they cannot hear. A mouth they have, but they cannot speak. Arms they cannot help. And yet, in our society, there are things that God's people have put in place as a God that they trust, that they worship, that they bow down to spiritually. But our God is the one that sees and hears and speaks and can help and has all power. He's the one that's given us our life. God will hear and God will forgive. Now, we're thankful for the forgiveness of God. We're thankful that when we cry out to God and ask God to forgive us, that he does. But again, it still has to be with the right heart. The psalmist said in Psalm 86, verse 5, "For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Now, so we know that God's mercy and God's forgiveness, it's plentiful. God has plenty of mercy and plenty of forgiveness for those that will cry out to him. It doesn't matter what someone's done or where they've been. When they turn to God in repentance, he will forgive them. And we're thankful that he forgives us. He gives an illustration. The author of this curriculum says, "I saw a button the other day with a play on common quotation. It said, 'To err is human, to forgive is out of the question.' To err is human. To forgive is out of the question. Now, God isn't like that. He freely and abundantly offers pardon when we ask. We're told in Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. It doesn't matter who we are or what we've done. Forgiveness is available to us through the riches of the grace of God, purchased for us by the blood of Jesus Christ. Think about that. Every child of God has received forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the forgiveness of God. But let me go back up and read this quote that was on a button that this person saw. Again, the button said, to err is human. All right? It's human to make mistakes, right? Just at times we make mistakes, and sometimes we make the mistakes towards somebody, all right? To err is human. But then it said, to forgive is out of the question. Now, that's human logic. That's what some people think. You know what? Yep, to err is human. You know, I understand that people will make mistakes, but if they make a mistake towards me, I'm not forgiving them. Yet we've been forgiven. That might be the sin that God brings to our mind that's in our heart, unforgiveness. And that might be why a lot of God's people are not seeing a change in their marriage, a change in their family, a change in their work environment, whatever it is. It may be because there's unforgiveness in the heart, and where there's unforgiveness, God will not work until that's dealt with. Again, as God's people, we have been forgiven. Now let me just stop here and say this. Are we guaranteed that somebody else will choose to do what's right because we pray? The answer is no. Because you know what? There are some people just bound for hell. They're not going to change. But I want you to listen to what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. President Biden may never get saved. Doesn't mean that God can't turn his heart and use him for good. Think about the kings that the Israelites were under. Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus, Darius. I mean, there's just different kings that God used to bless his people. We don't know if they ever got saved. We don't know if they ever put their faith and trust in God. All right. But guess what? You're healed. You and I are healed when we followed the prescription. Now, yes, we can still have healing in our land. But some of the greatest healing that takes place when following the prescription in 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the healing in my own heart, the healing in my own life. Because again, it's a personal relationship with God. God personally is working in your life. Now, God does call us, you know, to pray for a national revival, to pray for our leaders that their hearts would be turned. But in the process, we're changed. We're changed because God's working on us. And God will heal. And the one that he wants to heal the most is the one that is seeking him in prayer, helping us. David said, or the psalmist said in Psalm 85, verse 6, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Now, Colin Powell said once, we have to start thinking of America as a family. We have to stop screeching at each other, Stop hurting each other and instead start caring for, sacrificing for, and sharing with each other. We have to stop constantly criticizing, which is the way of the malcontent, and instead get back to the can-do attitude that made America. We have to keep trying and risk failing in order to solve this country's problems. We cannot move forward if cynics and critics swoop down and pick apart everything that goes wrong to a point where we lose sight of what is right, decent, and uniquely good about America. Again, that's human tendency, is to criticize. It's to criticize and pick apart everything that's wrong, every person that's doing wrong, instead of doing what's right, praying and seeking God, and doing our part. Prayer is a big part. Listen, I'll even say this. All right? This church will not continue or grow without God's people praying. Without God's people praying. I mean, as I look back at the history of this church, where it started, and then the decline of the church, because, I mean, this church used to have close to, from what I remember, from this one book I found, including children, all families, everyone that was a part of this church, it was almost 200 people. And at some point, it started going down. Now, I've only been here, I'll be 4 years in July that I've been here. All right. Prayer is a big part. Prayer is a big part. And I'll confess to you that in my 4 years I've been praying, Lord, what's the sin of the church? What's the sin of the church? What keeps the church from growing? What keeps us from seeing great blessings? And seeing what you can do, great and mighty things. All right? Listen. Yes, we do need a national revival, but also, I mean, think about our church. And it takes prayer. It takes us individually. And again, like I said before, sometimes we have the tendency to think about somebody else. Well, what about that person? Well, what if they don't pray? And I'm praying. That's all we need to think about is me. I'm praying for the growth of my church. I'm praying for the blessing of God upon His church. Because remember, Jesus said that He builds the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He's the church builder, right? But we all have our part that we can do, and prayer is a big part. Praying and being involved. Praying and seeking God for what God wants to do. Yes, we need to continue to pray for our country, even if we don't agree with who's in position. We need to pray for our state, for the state of Michigan, even though we may not agree with who's the governor. God still wants us to pray, because God's the one that can turn the heart. He can cause the person to do what's right. The only reason why God's people were allowed to even go from Babylon back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, to rebuild the wall, Jerusalem walls, was because God moved in a king's heart to let them go. King Cyrus allowed God's people to go back. And not even allowed them, but gave them letters saying, you know what, you can take wood out of the king's forest, you know, whatever you need to rebuild, it's yours. God's the one that turned the heart. So God can turn the heart of any person, but God calls us to pray, and while we pray, be prepared that He's going to change you. And that's what we want. We want God to work in our life. We want God to continue to transform us more to the image of Christ, helping us to bear the fruit, to bear out the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life, and to have the mind of Christ in our life. But again, seeking God for your country, for your church, for other church members, for family members, right? Even for enemies, those that may be against you, praying for them, praying that God turns their heart, asking God to work in their life as well. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you. I for the day that you've given us, Lord. Thank you for just the truth of your word. I pray, Father, that you would continue to guide us throughout this morning through the next hour. I pray that you speak to our hearts. Father, as always, we want Christ to be lifted up. We want you to be glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.